over. I'm so in love, so in love. There's no one above, up above. Forever's a long
good morning, everyone in the Medford area and listening online. This is Crew Cuts with Jack Batchelor, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. We're here with James Miller and Alex Williams in the studio again, who just came off a fantastic season of racing in the Tufts first varsity boat. Guys, what do you miss most about the season already? It's been 3 hours.
I miss George.
Yeah, and Sully.
You miss the coach and the dog. Yeah. Okay.
I miss team breakfast as well. As Jack was discussing before this, you know, it's kind of a shock. You go from seeing a bunch of guys every single day gathering at DeWick at around 8:15 every morning, and then that's just taken away. You know, not everybody is together in the same place until February.
Yeah. And
it starts again.
And there's so much energy there, too. Like, we're always screaming at 8:30, and I think everyone else is still waking up and gets kind of irritated at that, which, I mean, I don't mind, because I'm part of it, but I could see how, like, you know, waking up and people are yelling and playing psych and laughing, you know, really hard and crying because they're laughing. That could bother you, you know, but I'll definitely miss that.
I think they're jealous.
Yeah, that's a hard dynamic to get, especially with 40 guys. Yeah, I don't know. We talked about some interesting things today. We got some interesting opinions to talk about.
I think we do. But, we got a lot on the docket.
Oh yeah. Well, hopefully we'll get through all of it. Here all comes some Grateful Dead. So, you know, we were talking a little bit, and we decided that I'm angry for the week, I guess. Not for the week, hopefully. Just for today. Just this morning, and hopefully just get the anger out and be done with it. But I feel like, you know, we're going to have a little therapy session here, I guess. It's just like you don't need or want drama in your life, but no matter how hard you just try to get rid of it, it finds you. And I think the more you try to get rid of it for some reason, the more it comes back to get you. And it's like a very odd phenomena. I don't understand it, but that's what I'm angry about. I'm like, I just want to live a simple life and, you know, do what I usually do, you know, have fun. And it just never seems like it's that simple to do that, which is so bizarre, because I think it should be really easy to do that. I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on, like, living easy lives and not being really difficult for some odd reason?
Have you considered moving to a blueberry farm in northern Maine?
Or
yes,
an asparagus farm in Massachusetts.
Hadley grass.
Yeah, I was seriously considered moving. I had a very long dream my senior year, which was my parents probably shut down, of getting a van, driving to the West Coast and skiing all winter long and working as a busboy at whatever resort I'm at for those 3 weeks. That was my idea, and that was my parents saying, no way are you going to do that. I'm peeking a little bit. Okay, we're going to bring the audio down. Thank you, Alex, for your technical analysis. It's very helpful.
You're welcome.
We're all amateurs here, except for Alex, maybe. But yeah, what do you think about that, Dr. James? You know, the simple life, is it easy?
You know, you can't choose someone's life for them. You know, even like, parents, like at some point, like at what point do you become an adult? Because I was having this debate the other day. Like, maybe like that would have been that trip on this like VW bus or whatever you're gonna rent could have been a life changing positive experience for you. But you know, you can't.
Yeah, it's a little unfortunate. No one likes being told they can't do things.
Yeah, you could still do it, you know?
Yeah, it'd just be, you know, harder and money involved, unfortunately. Yeah. The ultimate stress of life.
Is that the ultimate stress of life?
I think for me it is. I stress about money a lot.
Money's a fabrication, you know? It's a story we tell each other. Like, it's not real, man.
Yeah, but taxes are. There's so much, like, I think you're right that money is, you're right, it's a concept, and it just has, whatever we say has value as a result is what has value. But I think that, you know, we assign, in, you know, you're right, it's not worth anything if we say it's not worth anything, but everyone says it's worth something, and so as a result you have to play along in that game.
All your friends jumped off a bridge, would you, Jack?
That's I hate that.
They'd probably have a good reason to jump off that bridge.
I know, and I would also probably jump off the bridge knowing
regardless
myself.
Regardless, Jack, I hear that blueberry farms in northern Maine are tax exempt, so you know.
Oh, are they really?
I think they are, but it could be the move.
You shouldn't have told me that. My parents are going to listen to this and be like, oh no, Jack's moving to blueberry farm. Like, they will have that thought, and they should, because maybe I will. Maybe I will, mom and dad.
A good heads up for them.
Jack, the blueberry engineer.
A blueberry, oh god, that sounds like an evil plot to take over the world ensuing. Alright, we're gonna play some more music and we'll talk soon. Uh-oh, wait, I turned the music off. Oh boy. Well, one second. It'll be back soon. In the meantime, we're just gonna talk a little more. What did Pete text us? The song audio has a fuzz in it. So, apparently we have audio control issues here. My laptop just died. All right, this will be very interesting. We're gonna talk. Oh, it's back. Okay, we will talk about self-driving cars for the next 2 minutes. And I think the real moral dilemma with a self-driving car is, what do you do if it's about to hit a pedestrian? Right? Isn't that like what everyone wants to know?
I think that's what everyone wants to know. I don't think that's the real moral dilemma.
What do you think the moral dilemma is?
So I think the moral dilemma that everyone focuses on is, what do you do if, you know, you're going down the road and all of a sudden you're in a situation where you have to either, like, hit a pole and harm the driver or hit a pedestrian.
Okay.
And that's the moral dilemma that everyone thinks about. But I think that the real moral dilemma here is, because, you know, that's kind of like the classic trolley problem, if you're familiar. Do you throw the switch and send the trolley down the track that kills one person, or like, do you send it down the track that kills, like, maybe like a pregnant woman? Like, what's more ethical there? But the more important trolley problem is, do you throw the switch that switches everyone to self-driving cars. You know, as a society, we can push this more. We can throw that stuff. Do we throw that switch, which would save the 20 to 30,000 people that die in America every year in motor vehicle accidents because they're distracted in driving, because they're drunk in driving, because they're just, like, not as good at driving as robots are. And that's really the trolley problem, is do we send it down the path towards that moral dilemma of do we hit the pedestrian or the pole versus continuing on our current course where we know
we're gonna
that we're going to kill
or the pedestrian
the pole or the, and the pedestrian 30,000 times over.
I see that. Wow, that's very interesting. And I'm sure you know that statistic very well, and I've seen numerous examples of that coming from emergency medical services.
I definitely have, like, the anecdotal experience. I kind of made up the statistic. It's definitely in the tens of thousands.
It's
in the tens
of thousands,
for sure.
Yeah. All right.
Number one cause of death for teens. So, you know.
Well,
think about it, kids.
We got, yeah, we got more music now. We're good. So, it'll be back.
We go to sleep to shake the pain. If we wake up on our own, and that's the way we get by. The way we get by. All that's the way we get by. The way we get by.
So we are, all right, we got the whole computer thing figured out. We're doing good here. We're thriving. Usually I turned off my sleep settings, so hopefully it won't go away on me again. But you never know with these newfangled pieces of technology, right? I do have a announcement I have to read here. All right. Why is WMFO Freeform? Well, it's been our tradition now for more than 45 years, and none of us here at WMFO want to see that change anytime soon. Do you? If not, we need your help to keep WMFO Freeform by contributing to our annual donations drive. Anytime before November 14th, go over to donate.wmfo.org to support WMFO in reaching our $5,000 goal. You will even receive a unique thank you gift. To see more about what our DJs have to say about keeping WMFO Freeform, visit facebook.com/WMFO Medford and share with your friends using the hashtag #KeepItFreeform. Yeah, public radio and radio in general. It's something that we're lucky to have here in the United States. I cannot speak for other countries because I've never listened to radio in other countries, but I know I always enjoy it, especially when I'm in a minivan and I don't have an aux cord and I only have CDs and I only have 6 CDs for a whole season. And that's a long season.
I have a question for you as an extension of our last discussion. Do you think that self-driving cars will be the death of radio? Because all of a sudden people are going to be able to just like watch movies while they're driving, quote unquote.
No.
They don't need radio.
It's not going to be the death of radio. And the reason why it's not going to be the death of radio is because the people that listen to radio enjoy listening to radio because of what it offers that movies and playlists cannot, which is unexpected music. Like, you go to Spotify's new mix, you can sort of predict what's going to be on there. You can sort of tell the genres that are going to be on there. When you tune in to someone's freeform radio show at 4 a.m., like all my great listeners do, you have no clue what I'm going to play. This is very different playlist from last week. Last week it was more mellow and jamish, and now I'm just sort of like playing a lot of like weird angsty music, and it's gonna get more angstier and more loud, which is good. That's how I feel right now. But I think radio will survive. You know, what are your stance on it, Alex?
I mean, it's sort of like the podcast form, right?
Yeah,
where you have people talking to each other, and so that like it's combining music and podcast. So as long as podcasts are still around, as long as music's still around, you're going to find people that are going to like combining the two.
And podcasts are having like a major boom right now, which is crazy. Jake Paul is going to release one.
Oh, no.
Can't wait to listen.
You going to listen to it?
I'm not.
I want to listen to it, and I'll probably review it on a show. Maybe I'll love it. Maybe it'll be my new favorite podcast.
Like, give me like a rundown of like the things.
He's
done. I
don't
want to hear it. Yeah.
I can't give you a rundown on air. Okay. I can give you a rundown off
That's
air.
Good.
But yeah, basically he went into hiding for a year after a bad social media stunt on YouTube, and now he's back and he says he's changed.
Is that the thing in Japan?
Yeah, it's the thing
in Japan.
Yeah, so
made me angry.
Yeah, it's a little tacky on his part, but I don't know how I feel about that. I'm always a person that's like, people can change, and I'm like, well, I don't know, can they? And
yes.
I feel like it's easier to be like, oh, I can change, and then it's harder to trust that other people are going to change, you know? Like, it's such a double standard, and I think a lot of people fall into that.
It requires trust, you know? And you gotta say, like, do you trust Jake Paul?
Yeah, ish. Don't watch his videos. I mean, it didn't really matter to me until he pulled that stunt. So I guess that sort of says something, but I guess it means that she shouldn't matter to me after the stunt then, which is odd, right? But I don't know. I'm always like, you know, people in the prison system should be able to come out and get the right to vote, which is not, you know, it's in a lot of states now, but not all states. You know, it's like the recent decriminalization of marijuana in New York City to try to decrease biased arrests. I don't know. I mean, I hope it'll work. I think it'll work. I just don't know how effective it's going to be.
It seems like institutions changing, not people, which is a different.
Yeah, that's true.
Different can of worms.
Well, yeah, I think institutions are changing for the better right now. Maybe slightly.
Maybe.
I think it's a direct response to other politics, and people are realizing they need to pick up the slack and start getting their stuff done. Yep, but we'll have some more music coming your right way right now.
little tired. Shit, I'm stepping in harder this year. Can't bear rapping in harder this year. Watch me as I gravitate. Ha, 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 ha. We gon' ghost town, this Motown. With your sound, you in the blink. Gon' bite the dust, can't fight with us. With your sound, you kill the ink. So don't stop, get it until you chant it.
So we've been talking off air about games, and I guess it's going to be recorded. So it's going to be put all out there because it's interesting to talk about. We got we've heard about this recent game called the Alpha Male System Alpha, game, yeah. Point Alpha Points Alpha Game, whatever. Basically, it revolves around you doing, in my opinion, semi-childish behavior. Sorry. Well, pretty childish behavior. I mean, I don't really consider going to bathroom on someone's floor to be adult-like or getting into a fight adult-like. You know, it's harder to do the right thing a lot of those times when you want to fight or when you want to just really go to the bathroom.
I think we shouldn't reward that behavior.
Well, that too.
Or gamify it.
Or, yeah, like that makes it a joke and makes it funnier and desirable. Like, I think there's a difference between being ridiculous and, like, making fun of yourself and just, like, being rude and insensitive to other people. Yeah, so I don't know, I'm kind of fired up about that right now. That made me, it added to my angry playlist. Not really, but it's kind of crazy to think that, like, that's a game. I never thought of that. And I guess you can gamify anything, but it's...
You can gamify anything. It's just about games, like, promoting good, like, positive and not positive behavior and kind of choose your game.
Yeah, so, oh yeah, one of the other points for the ERG game, where you essentially get points for being ridiculous while working out, is if you race one of our head coaches or assistant coaches and win, you get 10,000 points.
That's not all. Oh, man. Well, I know what coach I would pick.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be going for Noel, but they get to choose the length.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a little harder.
Well, I don't know. Noel pulled a 6:16 back in his day.
Well, and I feel like he would working out. And he would be like, all right, we're going to do a 2-hour piece. And, like, that would just be such a deterrent. Like,
yeah.
I would not want to have to battle Noel, like, stroke for 2 hours. Because he's going to use way less energy than me and probably pull very similar.
He's just determined.
Yeah.
He's like a bulldog.
He does not look. It was very nice to have him for a head coach this season. And it was interesting to hear him be like, yeah, I'm really proud of how we just did today. I'm like, whoa, really? Like, I've never heard you sort of say that before. So, I don't know. Is that a typical Noel thing to happen?
To be proud of?
Yeah, and be open about it. Like, I would have never expect him to say it. I feel like he'd always be like, you know.
I think Noel enjoys enshrouding himself in sort of like a mystical veil where it's like really hard to see like what Noel's thinking. And like Noel will come out and say really like mystical things about like how you need to be like a samurai or like go into battle with the fury of 1,000 souls is things Noel likes to say. I've had a few of those moments with him, and like if you're willing to like kind of like put yourself like surrender yourself to the will of the team and like really like send it, you'll kind of earn that respect, and then he'll kind of let you into his world of like feelings and emotions, which like he's, you know, I think what I've realized about Noel is that he's not like the sure leader I really thought he was for 2 years. And, you know, he's full of like swirling, like confusion, uncertainty and emotion, just like the rest of us in regards to rowing.
Yeah.
And like, if he chooses to kind of let you into that world, then yeah, it is full of like tender moments and like angry moments and
nice.
Everything in between.
Do you have a public service announcement you want to read? Sorry to interrupt that.
No, I do have a public service announcement. So, I see a lot of people doing this. They take a post-it note, they cover their laptop camera. My aunt does this, and she says that it's because the North Koreans are watching. I think there are some racial undertones there, Aunt Claude. She's not the only one who does this.
Kick the microphone. That's all right.
Kick the microphone.
All right, I'll turn that off.
So, I have a PSA for you. Why not cover your computer camera? If you have a computer with a webcam and you don't use it, why not cover up the camera with a piece of opaque tape? In addition to government programs, there's plenty of other malware and viruses that can hijack the computer's camera to spy on you. So if you don't use it, consider covering it up. Oh, wow. Aunt Claude was on to something, if I'm being honest. I didn't read that. And it really went a different direction from where I thought it was going. Maybe I should be doing this. Something to think about.
All right. So that was a good one, especially with, you know, always trusting the government, always not trusting the government. You know, always be wary, I guess. But yeah, it's good to hear an interesting opinion from a senior on a team about a coach and what their methods are, which are definitely mysterious to Alex or I, where our coach's methods, well, Alex's coach had a bizarre method.
Yes, make you hate him.
And then my coach just did it based on pure speed, basically, and didn't care if you came to practice or not, as long as you were fast and you can move the boat faster than anyone else, you'd be in the boat. Would you say that's right, Alex? Is that how Jan ran it, basically?
Kind of, but I also didn't really understand how Jan was doing it. I don't know.
Yeah.
There was no real emotion involved there.
Yeah, I think shy of the first two quads, it didn't really matter, unfortunately. Maybe, and then your double, I don't understand how, like, I understand that you were faster, right? And, like, you four guys were not the fourth quad and not the second quad. But what I didn't understand is how he determined those two doubles. And, you know, it worked out. But, all right, we got... Uh-oh, one sec. I just played the wrong song. We got some Rage Against the Machine coming your way for
angrier
another...
Angrier and angrier.
Yeah, we're just getting fired up here. So let me... Yeah, there we go. I think it marks too.
Empty and pimp speed on a mission for them greens. Lean, mean, money making machines. living like a Rob Liberace. It's all good, from Diego to the Bay. Your city is the bomb if your city making pay. Throw up a finger if you feel the same way. Straight footing in town for California, yeah.
California.
So we're gonna talk here a little bit about, what did we talk about off air? We talked about, so like last week we all had a rough week. Like, we'll admit it, we were pretty beat up mentally and physically, I'd say, after you know, Head of the Fish, where it was raining nonstop. But it's you know, is going to practice when you're just mentally not there and physically, you know, feel like you can perform at your best, conducive to being a better athlete? And I'd say in the long term, it is, because if you're able to suffer then and, you know, perform at your worst, then you can perform at your best. You can perform when you're on a full night's rest, when you're, you know, eating right, when you're not sick. And it's definitely difficult to think about that in that moment and be like, all right, I'm going to practice today and I'm going to, you know, still give it all because there's nothing else I can do. You know, like, this is it. Like, I'm not waking up at 5 o'clock to go do a bad job at practice. Like, I'm waking up at 5 o'clock because I love this sport and I want to go and excel at it. And I think mentally it's very easy to get caught up and be like, oh, I don't feel good. And like, oh, I feel sick. And oh, I feel like I want to tired and don't really want to row hard today. Like, no, you can't waste that time, because otherwise you should just stay in bed and really like sleep, I think. But But yeah, I think it's just a development, and sometimes those weeks happen and there are corrections in your whole attitude, but I think the overall trend is always up.
I don't know, I'd say for a week, like short term, the like forcing yourself to just go through with it is good.
Yeah,
like perseverance is a valuable talent to have, and so even if it sucks and you're getting up and you're just going in and doing the work and like trying your hardest even though it sucks, then yes, that's good. In the long term, I'm not so sure I see the benefits, because at that point you're just making yourself suffer.
Yeah.
And like if the love has suddenly disappeared because you've just forced yourself to go in over and over and over again and it's just continually sucked, then you're not going to want to keep going in.
Yeah.
So
I see what you're saying there. So it's almost like, just depending on the duration of it, you should wonder if it's a serious issue or if it's just a...
It shouldn't be, like, permanently sucking. Yeah.
I think that if you go in with the mentality that you were talking about, Jack, about, like, I want to wake up and do a good job at practice and have a good practice, if you go up with that kind of attack mentality as opposed to a survival mentality of, like, let's get this over with, you're going to enjoy it a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And that... You know, I would say if you're trying to go into it with like that positive mentality and you're still having a rough time, then maybe you got a problem.
I mean, there is one of my favorite quotes I've heard. I can't attribute it. I don't know who said it, but it said, like, basically, I'm not a fan of procrastination, but if there's one thing I do want you to procrastinate on, it's skipping, you know, the gym today. You know, wait till tomorrow to take your rest day. And I think that's such a interesting quote to live by, in that you're like, I want to put off, you know, this laziness until tomorrow.
Weird.
And it's
meta.
That's such a weird thought for me. And I think it's a really good way to think about some things. Like, if you don't want to do it, you're like, I'm going to just do it today, and then tomorrow I won't have to do it. And you know you're going to do it the next day. Like, you just know. You know, you might be like, I don't want to go to practice on Monday, but I'm going to. And then you're going to go back on Tuesday. Like, you just will. So I think that's always, like, very crazy for me to think that, like, there's just this insane drive to wake up and go and work out, and you know, that's how you just start your day, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't think I've ever been upset coming back from practice.
Yeah,
most of the time.
But going to,
or even going into it, because I'm too tired. Because I'm too tired to actually really care. And like on the 2K day, I was, by all counts, that should have been. It's the middle of the week.
Yeah.
It's gonna suck. And I just woke up and I was like, okay, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah. Well, like, I think that's the cool thing about morning practices here, is that, like, you just don't have, like, all the time to worry about a 2K. Like, I'd get major anxiety before, like, some practices. And, like, now I'm like, oh, time to wake up. Time to go do it. And I'm done. And then the rest of my day can go on, like, unimpeded. Yeah. James, any thoughts?
I've been thinking a lot, and I've been discussing with this with George a lot about kind of the positive and the negative ways you can phrase things. Because, you know, when we talk about, like you're always, like, never, you say you're never angry, like, coming back from practice, or never upset coming back from practice. I think that I definitely have been, and it's a lot about how both, like, the mindset that I take about events and experiences that I have, and the mindset that, like, you know, others bring. And I think that there's a difference between someone saying, like, can we please set the boat?
Yeah.
Like, in that kind of tone of voice, that negative tone of voice, versus someone, you know, saying, like, all right, boys, like, remember, like, hands away together. Yeah,
positive thoughts.
Positive. There's positive ways to phrase things and positive mentalities, and it's just completely different experiences, even for the same event.
Yeah. All right. We got a final song to take you out. Just remember that this is Crew Cuts, and you're listening to 91.5 WMFO. Tufts Freeform Radio.